Okay, praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, the 19th chapter. We'll read verses 12 through 27. I want to welcome all of you that are here in the building this morning and then all that are watching on Facebook through streaming. I want to tell you that we're so thankful that you're with us today. Welcome to Texas House of Prayer, located right here in the heart of Johnson County, Texas. And we also want to welcome you to Two for Sunday. That's what we're calling this. This is Two for Sunday. You got two great messages for the low, low price. One low, low price. And I want you to keep, for those of you who can come to the message this evening, we want all the children to stay behind. There'll be more about that as I talk tonight. We don't want any preteens in the audience. This evening. We'd like for the parents to be in charge of what information gets to your children. So it's just going to be one of those services tonight. But hang on to your ticket that got you admittance today, and that'll be good for tonight. So you can use that same ticket to get in tonight for free. And also, Dustin will validate your parking after the service, so no extra charge for parking. Anyway, welcome to Twofer Sunday. This is one of Twofer this morning. It's totally unrelated to the message I'm going to be preaching tonight. It's something that I've preached a few times before in the past over many, many years. And I've told this before, I've got a bag of sermons, you know, I could just reach into, like Felix the cat, reach into my bag of tricks and pull something out. I got plenty to choose from, and they're all good. But I never want to just preach something just because it's easy to do. This is something the Lord actually has laid on my heart, and I believe this is a message for now as well. So Luke chapter 19, we'll start in verse 12. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him to whom he had given money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He saith unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said unto him likewise, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I did not, that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou mine money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have received mine own with usury, or with interest? And he said unto him, unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, that he hath shall be taken from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. We see here a picture of the judgment that is to come. We see a picture of righteous and faithful servants who have taken what the Lord has given them, and they have exercised it, they have used it, they have put it to good use, and they have received increase as a result of it. In another place in the scriptures, we're told that there are those that their works will be as gold, silver, and precious stones. The fire of God's judgment will not burn them and not destroy them. They will prove to be works that were done in His name and that will last the test of time. Then there are others that are said that their works will be wood, hay, and stubble. When the fire of God is applied to them, they will be burned up and there will be nothing left. However, that person, although there is nothing to show for it, there is nothing that is eternal that lasts, their soul will last eternal in the presence of God. But they'll walk around smelling in heaven, at least for a while, like the dead works they left behind. And then there are those who would not have Him reign over them at all, and those would be cast into fire. They will not be saved. So this is a picture of what it is to be a faithful Christian, what it is to be one who is just trying to get through life and skate by as easily as possible, get into heaven by the skin of your teeth, and the picture of those who say, I will not have Him reign over me. There are several things that I want you to see this morning. First of all, the master expected them to conduct business or to put his money to work until his return. In Luke chapter 19, verse 13, we read a few minutes ago, he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now that word occupy means to trade with or to do business with. It doesn't mean take it and sit on it. We think about occupying a fort. We just get behind the walls and we just stay there and don't let anybody move us. Well, the picture that Jesus is trying to get us to see is when the master told them to occupy, he wasn't saying sit on it and protect it and don't let anything happen to it. He was saying do business with it, and they understood that. The second thing we want you to see, and this is something that for years and years and years, even as a Christian, I never saw the importance of what we're about to see right here. Upon his return, he expected not only what he gave them to be safely returned, he expected through their trading, through their doing business, for them to give him not only what he entrusted them, but to give him an increase, to have done something with it to where it has grown in that period of time. We see this in Luke 19, verse 15. And it came to pass that when he is returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know, listen, how much every man had gained. Everybody say gained. How much every man had gained by trading. He wasn't asking, do you still have it? That was expected. That was the very minimum. That was the skating by. That was the losing reward and not having reward, but still being a servant that's not going to be destroyed. That's the very minimum to give back and have protected the whole time. Done nothing with but protected. Don't let it go. Don't let it be destroyed. Hide it. But it wasn't that. He didn't say, how well did you hide it? He said, I want to know what you've gained with what I've given you. And then Luke chapter 19, verse 23, wherefore then gavest not, that he's talking to the man who hid his, then gavest not thou my money into the bank, which at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. If you would have just invested it in a bank, even if you didn't trade with it, if you just would have invested it, I would have had mine plus at least a little bit of increase. The next thing we need to see is there came a day of reckoning, a day of accountability. Luke 19, verse 15, "And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained." There came a day when, what did you do with what I gave you? Because, this is important to know, your faithfulness, and we'll explain what faithfulness means in a minute. Your faithfulness determines your reward or lack thereof. Luke 19, verse 17, "And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Luke 19, 19, "And he said unto him, Because thou also have been faithful, have authority over 5 cities. So what they did, their faithfulness, and their faithfulness was being honored, it determined their reward, or as we see in the next case, lack of reward. "And he said unto them that stood by," verse 24, "Take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. There was a loss of reward. Faithfulness is rewarded in this life. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in much." If you can't handle the little things, then you're certainly not going to handle, well, the big things. It's a principle. People say all the time, you know, when I get rich, I'll tithe. When I get rich, I'll give to God. When I get rich, I'll be a giving, caring person. But right now, it's just all I can do to get by. That's not true. You'll find something else to spend it on. You'll find something else that your time should be invested in. If you can't be faithful in that which is little, you cannot be faithful and trusted in that which is much. "If therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" You know, people say all the time, if I had my own business, I'd put everything into it. But right now, I'm just working for the man, and he's going to get what he gets. You know, I'm not here to lay my life down for him. I'm here to make myself rich. And when I get to the point where everything I do affects me and nobody else, then I'll put everything into it. Scriptures tells us something totally different. If you can't be faithful in that which is another man's, who's going to trust you to have your own? You haven't learned how to be faithful. So faithfulness is rewarded in this life. If you are faithful, my encouragement to you today is, if you are faithful in that which is another man's, you will be given more. You will be trusted more. More will come to you. I remember a story about a man who was working at a railroad and had been there for many, many years. I don't know if this is a true story or just a preacher's story, but just bear with me. He was working and a train pulled up, and everybody knew that on this train there was some executives on it. And so him working for the railroad and all of his buddies that worked there, they were there to make everything look neat and to welcome these executives. And one of the executives got off and he looked down the track and he looked at the rail yard and he looked down and he saw one of the men that had been working there, one of the guys that had been working there for 25 years. And he said, "Bill, is that you?" And Bill looked and said, "Bob? Is that you?" And they came and they embraced one another and they had a wonderful time just talking and, "How's your mom? You know, what's the old place look like nowadays?" And then after a while, the executive got back on the train and left, and the guy that had been working at that rail yard for 25 years, his friends came up to him and said, "You knew him? He's the head of the railroad. How'd you know him?" He said, "Well, we grew up together. We started out on the same day." He said, they all said to him, "How did you, you're nothing more than a supervisor here. He's the head of the company. What happened?" He said, "Well, 25 years ago, I went to work for $5 an hour. But 25 years ago, he went to work for the railroad." It makes all the difference. If all you're doing is working for $5 an hour, it'll show in your work. But if you're working to make your employer successful, I've got the authority of the Word of God to stand on. It will be recognized. It will be rewarded. Your faithfulness will be rewarded. Faithfulness is also rewarded in the life to come, not just in this life, but your faithfulness will be eternally rewarded. James chapter 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth, remains in, does not flee away from, or is faithful in temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." It's an eternal reward. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Faithfulness, and here's where we get to define what faithfulness actually is. Faithfulness is combining your effort with God's gift so that you may give unto him both increase on his investment and pleasure to his heart. When we're faithful to God, we take what he gives us and we don't hide it. We use it for his glory so that it might grow and glorify him more. And in the process, it pleases his heart. To be true faithfulness, in order for faithfulness to be true faithfulness, it must be expressed, first of all, over time. Not once in a while. It's not faithful once in a while. It's not faithful when it's convenient only. It's not faithful when it pleases you and you get something out of it. Faithfulness is being faithful to faithfully accomplish your job over and over and over. It is being faithful over time. And it's also, in order to be true faithfulness, it has to be expressed under pressure. You know that old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going? In my young mind, I used to think the tough get going. Yeah, they get out of there. They leave. But no, that's not what that statement means. When the going gets tough, that's when you get going even more. That's when you put your shoulder to the wheel. That's when you put your effort into it. That's when you stay until the job is done. That's when you continue to be faithful, regardless if it looks like anybody cares, you're ever going to be rewarded, you're ever going to be noticed. You're not doing it for that reason. You're being faithful because it's a job that God has given you. And you're being faithful unto him. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." That word steward is the same word that's used many different places and it always means the same. It is descriptive of a house manager, someone who has a rich person who's able to afford servants, who's able to have people helping and run things for him. And this steward is a house manager, is someone who runs the household on his behalf. It's a person of great trust. It's a person with great responsibility. And it's important, is required that someone who's been given great responsibility is a person of trust, is a person who is faithful. You know, we're talking about being truly faithful is not expressed in just an every now and then when you feel like a thing. It's something that happens over and over again. And it's not just something that you recognize about yourself. We'll see that in a few minutes. It's something that others recognize in you. Anybody ever heard of a famous geyser? You know what a geyser is? We'll start with children. Anybody know what a geyser is, Malachi?
It's like a volcano, but
it shoots out
water.
Very good.
100 feet or so, depends on the weather of the ground.
Very good, Malachi. You weren't really being tested there. Your mom was. Okay? So if he would have failed, guess who would have failed? His mom. But good job, Jennifer, and good job, Malachi. A geyser is that, like you said, a volcano of water is coming from underground. It's a geothermal thing that happens where the ground, the water underground gets supercharged, superheated, and at certain intervals, the pressure builds up enough that it shoots up. Who can tell me the most famous geyser in the world?
Old Faithful.
Old Faithful. Good job, Jason and Katie.
Jason, let's be real.
It had to be Jason. No, good job, William. Old Faithful. Let me just read you a few things about Old Faithful. Why do you think Old Faithful is called Old Faithful? Because Old Faithful, one time, a long time ago, spewed once. Is that why Old Faithful is Old Faithful? No. Old Faithful, well, let's just read what happened. This is according to Wikipedia. On the afternoon of September 18, 1870, the members of the Washburn Expedition traveled down the Firehole River from Kepler Cascades and entered the Upper Geyser Basin. The first geyser that they saw was Old Faithful. Now, they didn't know it was Old Faithful at the time. They're just telling you which one it was that we know now as Old Faithful. Nathaniel P. Langford wrote in 1871 in his account of the expedition, "It spouted at regular intervals 9 times during our stay. The columns of boiling water began being thrown from 90 to 120 feet. 100's right in the middle of that. Good job. At each discharge, which lasted from 15 to 20 minutes, we gave it the name of Old Faithful. Why was it called Old Faithful? Because it did what it did in a manner that other people could see. You can count on it doing it again. It not only did it when it felt like it, it did it regularly. It did it like clockwork. It's something that could be counted on. Oh, it's going to do it again in this many minutes. We got time to go kick that bear in the rear end and get back over here real quick and see it happen again. Now, kids, if you're listening, please don't ever kick a bear in the rear end. Okay? But it was faithful. And they knew it to be faithful, so it was deemed Old Faithful. You know, there are many, many, many other geysers in that park, and there are geysers throughout the world, but that is the most faithful, the most famous one that almost every school child knows the name of. Who can tell me the second most famous geyser? We don't know, do we? Someone who is in the business of knowing these things would know, but I don't know and you don't know because it wasn't astounding. What made it astounding? The height that the water went? The temperature of the water? No. How faithful it was to do what it did. It is required in stewards, in someone who has great responsibility in the kingdom of God. It is required that you be found faithful. Areas where faithfulness is required. I've got three areas. This isn't the only three areas, but these are three very important areas where faithfulness is required. Remember, if we're going to have responsibility in the kingdom of God, if we're going to carry great responsibility, if we're going to have great reward, not only in this life, but in the life to come, then we are going to have to be people who are counted faithful. First of all, we need to be faithful to God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, "For the time will come," Paul's talking to Timothy, "when people will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." We have to be faithful to the word of God, faithful to the correct interpretation of the word of God, faithful that what it means in this place and what it says to us in this place doesn't contradict to what it says in all the other places it's mentioned. We have to search the word of God to see if these things be true. We need to be faithful to the word of God. I want to tell you here today that my stand on many things is not because I have never had a contrary opinion. My stand on abortion, that it is wrong, is evil, that is killing a life and should not take place, is not because I was born with that knowledge in my head. In fact, as a wayward teenager who was doing all kinds of wrong things, and abortion just became legalized, I thought that perhaps abortion could be a good option for a young man like me who might get in trouble too early. I thought it was a good thing. My flesh thought it was a good thing. My mind, my unregenerated mind, thought it was a good thing. It was only when I came to the Lord and I started understanding His word that I realized, no, it's not a good thing, it's a bad thing. My opinions about things had to change when I started learning what the Word of God said. I had to be faithful, not to my own opinions, not to what Oprah said, but I had to be faithful to what God's Word says. And brothers and sisters, you do too. It's time for people to stop being people with itchy ears that just want to hear what they want to hear, what makes them feel good, what makes this country make sense. What makes life make sense? Well, me having lots of money and driving fancy cars and living in a big house and being able to tell everybody in the world what to do, that makes sense to me. Yeah, but is that, did it come from the blessing of the Lord? Did you earn it honestly? Have you been faithful as a giver? Have you used that money for the glory of God? See, there's a lot of things that we need to consider. We need to go back to the Word of God and find out, what does God have to say about it? I'm sorry to say, almost every subject that I had an opinion on growing up, I had the wrong opinion. I had to change. In my heart and in my mind, it was okay to hold a grudge. In my heart and in my mind, it was okay to hate somebody that deserved my hate. In my heart and in my mind, it was okay to hurt somebody physically who needed to be hurt. All of those things had to change. The words of Jesus told me something different on every single thing. Every single opinion that I had, almost every one of them, was wrong and come about from a wrong way. Well, it's okay if two people who aren't married do what married people do, as long as they love one another. It made sense to me. And to find love, is love forever or is love for tonight? I had it all worked out in my head. Everything that pleased me, everything that gave me a benefit, everything that satisfied my flesh was okay. And the Word of God was outdated. We had a man come and speak to our youth group when I was an unsaved guy going to a youth group. And someone asked him, is it okay for a Christian to date a non-Christian? And more importantly, is it okay to marry a non-Christian? And the guy said, if you want to marry a dead man. Oh, that made me so mad. I wanted to beat that sissy preacher up. He was speaking the truth. Like Brother Leonard Ravenhill always used to say when he was alive, your problem is not that you were a sinner. Your problem is that you were a dead man. Before Christ, we're dead in trespasses and sin. An unbeliever is dead to God. Why would you want to marry a dead man? My mind had to be renewed to the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Not if you start in my word, but if you continue. If you're faithful in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Paul, again speaking to Timothy, says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Amplified Bible says, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of God. See, it's not only what we hold dear to and what we protect, but it's also we got to give increase to it. When we're out talking to other people, what is our conversation about? It should be, thus saith the Lord. This is what the Lord has to say about this subject. And it's okay to tell people I used to be stupid. That's concerning yourself. And it's okay to tell people that I used to be stupid too, if you want to. I'll tell them. It's okay to tell people I used to get it wrong. I used to have it wrong. But I've learned that this is what the Word of God says. This is what God cares about. Then secondly, not only faithful to God's Word, but we need to be faithful to God's call. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. See, every true believer is called to serve. And everyone that is called has been uniquely gifted in order to fulfill that call. Brothers and sisters, I can't call you into a ministry. You know why? Because I can't gift you. The one who calls you is the one who gifts you. I can't call you. I can't say, you know, Dwayne, you need to be this. And Jason, you need to be that. Holden, you need to be this. I can't call you because I can't gift you. But what I can do is recognize the call of God on your life that you have also recognized. And I can call you to be faithful to His call. And that's what we're all called to do, is to call others to be faithful to the call of God on their lives. We're to encourage, just like Paul said to the church at Colossae. He says, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry. Pay attention to the ministry that you received of the Lord that you may fulfill it. Do it. You've been called to ministry. Those of you who know me, I can be extremely irritating at times calling you to be faithful to God's call. I'm not going to quit. You'll have to go somewhere else. If you're tired of hearing it, go somewhere else. I'm not going to quit. Be faithful to God's call in your life. Do what He's called you to do. Stand up. It is difficult. It is hard. Being faithful, remember, is not only being regular and other people see you being regular in times when, you know, you need to be doing it, but also in times when it's very difficult to do, under pressure. It's overtime and under pressure. Faithfulness is. I used to have a football coach that used to tell us, lose yourself in something far greater than yourself. Now that sounds pretty good when it comes to football, but that's nothing in comparison to the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you, I don't care whether you lose yourself in football or not. I don't care whether you lose yourself in fitness or not. I don't care whether you lose yourself in anything like that or not. But I certainly do care, and God cares, that you lose yourself in His service. Be committed and be faithful to God's call. I want to encourage you, grow where you are planted. Grow where you're planted. A lot of people want to get transplanted. They want to hop out of the pot that they're in, that God put them in, and run over and be planted somewhere else. Grow where you're planted. Support the vision of the church body that you're a part of. Well, I'm not a part of a church body. Again, I'm going to use what God has called me to do and encourage you and exhort you. Be a part of a church body. Be planted. Let the Lord establish you and help you to grow. You may grow and have to be retransplanted from this pot to another pot. You still be in the same house, but you're growing. You're providing an increase. Start where you are. Have this mindset about you. What can I do? What is needed? You know, how many people always say, well, they don't do that. No, they don't value that. They don't do that. Well, maybe we don't do that because we haven't had somebody with your gifting that can come along and help us see that we need to do it carefully and lovingly and respectfully. If something's really big on your heart that we ought to be doing, let's talk about it. Maybe we just found the leader of that little task. Or maybe it's just not for now. Start where you are. What can I do? What is needed? People a lot of times say, well, I just don't feel led to do that. I like what one Scottish prophet said one time. He said, he's getting really fired up talking to these people. He said, you don't feel led? You don't feel led? Poke yourself with a pencil if you need to feel led. Pencil has lead in it. Sometimes we don't need to feel led. We just need to realize that, hey, this is an opportunity for me to be faithful, for me to give Him a return on the investment that He's making in my life. And Paul told the believers at Colossae to tell Archippus to fulfill it. That means to complete it, regardless of the opposition or the obstacles. Ever since I watched the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And they had this one line in there where, there shall be many obstacles. I can't think obstacles without thinking obstacles. So in life, there are many obstacles. There are things in your way. Be faithful regardless of the opposition and regardless of the obstacles. Because there will be those. There'll be those who will not be supportive. There are those who will not appreciate because you're making stands on the Word of God that they don't appreciate. You're making stands on and being involved in ministry, and they'd rather you hang out and drink with them. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul knew what he was called to do, and he, what else have I got to do? The disciples said to Jesus, he said to them after the multitudes left, and he turned to them, he said, will you also walk away? He turned to them and said, and he said, will you go also? And they said to him, Lord, where else would we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Paul was in that place. I got nowhere else to go. I got nobody else to be obedient to. I've got no other master. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my master. He's the one I bow down to. He's the one I'll spend eternity to. I'm going to be faithful to Him. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, Peter and John said, after they were warned not to preach or teach again in the name of Jesus, they said, whether you think it's right to preach or teach in His name, judge you. But we cannot help but speak the things which we have heard and seen. We got to do it. I'm too far gone. There's no life for me to go back to. I'm telling you, for me right here, there's nothing for me to go back to. I got nothing to run away to. I'm all in. There is no life out there for me that would ever be satisfying. I got to be faithful to the one who's called me. And then lastly this morning, I want to encourage you to know that it's important that not only are we faithful to God's Word, faithful to His call, but faithful to God's anointed leadership in your life. Those who are called of God to help you get where you need to go. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 says, many men will proclaim to everyone their own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Many people will look at themselves and think, you know, I'm pretty hot stuff. I'm faithful. I did that once. I used to do that. I used to be there every now and then. My family got most of the money I made. A man's got to have fun. Most people will look at themselves and say, I'm a pretty good dude. And Scripture says that. Most men will proclaim to everyone else their own goodness. But a faithful man, a truly faithful man, who can find? Why is it important to be faithful to those who God has put in your life to help guide you and lead you and train you and nurture you and mentor you? Well, I often think about the story of Elisha serving under Elijah. Elijah was the prophet, the man of God that was mightily used of God in so many different ways. And Elisha was this new and upcoming prophet that wanted to be used of God in a mighty way. And there was a school of prophets. They said there was 50 sons of the prophets that were around at the time. He could have gone and been at the school. Elisha didn't want book knowledge only and head knowledge only. He wanted experiential knowledge. And get this, when God showed me this, man, it brought me to tears. When Elijah was going to be taken to be with the Lord, those 50 sons of the prophets, they weren't nobodies. They weren't people who didn't know, didn't hear from God. They said to Elisha, the one who was to follow, the young prophet that was staying with Elijah, they said to him, your master is going to be taken away from you today. How did they know that? They had spiritual insight. These weren't complete dummies. But what's going to separate Elisha, the one to come, following Elijah's footsteps, from those 50? The Bible says that those 50 were sitting upon a little embankment high above where they could see what was going on. And Elijah kept saying to Elisha, I got to go over here. You stay here and wait for me. He said, no, I'm not leaving you. I'm staying with you. He said, okay, come on. Then a little bit later, he came to another place and he said, you stay here and wait for me. I'll be back. I got to go over here. He said, no, I'm not leaving you. I'm staying with you. He said, okay, come on. What's the difference between these 50 sons of the prophets? They were content to hang back and to view from afar. But Elisha said, no, I'm not leaving you. I'm staying right in your hip pocket. I don't want you to do anything that I miss. I don't want a God to use you in a way that I miss out on. And therefore, I miss out on that day's training. So he stayed with him. And they came up, and I believe it was to the River Jordan. And Elijah had this mantle that was representative and symbolic of the authority that he carried as a prophet. And the water was there before him. And Elijah took that mantle and he went and he smote the water with it. He hit the water and the waters parted. And they went across the river on dry ground. And then they accomplished what they needed to accomplish. And then a little bit later on, the Lord did come to get Elijah. And they took him up. And as he was going up into heaven, Elijah leaned over, and this is my version of what happened. It said his mantle fell to the earth. I can see Elijah saying, well, first of all, Elijah said to Elisha, what do you want from me? He said, I want a double portion of the anointing that's on you. He said, if you see me when I go, you'll get it. But only if you see me when I go. So as he was being taken to the Lord, Elisha wouldn't let him go, and he's with him the whole time. He did see him when he's going. I can just picture in my mind Elijah looking over the chariot that he was being taken up in and dropping that mantle down to Elisha, giving him a little wink. You did see me after all, didn't you? Here you go. Elisha went over and picked up that mantle that he had seen. He didn't read it in the book. He saw it. He was there with it when it happened. He saw that mantle being used so many times, he picked it up. And he came over to the River Jordan because he had to cross back over. And he took that mantle and he smote the waters. And the waters parted and it went across. Not only did he get the anointing, but by staying close to the man that God put in his life in order to help him and lead him and guide him, not only did he have the head knowledge, and not only did he understand mantle, and not only did he understand anointing, he learned how to use it because he was close enough to see it in use. I can't begin to tell you the number of times that I have bemoaned not being able to have that kind of relationship as a young man growing up. Where I didn't have somebody say, stick close with me. Watch what I do. I didn't even have anybody offer me that without even an understanding of what it would do. Just say, I want you to be close to me. The number of times that I've missed out on that, but I understand how important that is, and that's why I want to be that to everybody I can be to today. If I got it and I know how to do it, and I only know 50% of what maybe some greater man of God, at least there's 50% that I can give you. I want to pour out into you everything I can. And we're all different. With Susan, you ladies, with me, not with the ladies, but with the men, you don't have to ask me twice. Will you help me? Will you pour into me? I'll probably chase you down trying to. I'll do everything I can to try to input into your life. Susan's a little different. You may have to come up to her, ladies, and say, would you help me in this? She's got a different personality. She handles things differently. But I guarantee you the Spirit of God rests on her. And there's things in her that if you can be just as tenacious as Elisha was with Elijah, you'll get it. But I'm here to tell you today, you need to be faithful to those who God has put in your life, who love you enough to invest in you. We're just about to close. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me, this is Paul talking to Timothy, that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul said, I'm pouring into you, Timothy. You find people just like you who want to be poured into, and you be just like me who want to pour into them, and you pour into them. You find faithful men, because the kingdom of God is going to be built on faithful men and women. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 22, but you know the proof of him, talking about Timothy, that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. And then Proverbs chapter 25, verse 19. Confidence, this is the opposite of someone being faithful. Confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Instead of pleasure, instead of halving the load, it's exacerbating the situation, making it worse, because you're trying to put confidence in somebody who just will not be there. God is not looking for men of amazing natural ability, famous men, handsome men. I don't know how I got in there, but I did. Men of great intellect, rich men, or men with great charisma. God is not looking for those. He is looking for faithful men. In closing today, I want to ask you, what kind of man or woman are you? What kind of man or woman do you want to be going forward? It's not so much about what you think about yourself. Find 10 people and ask them. Find 10 other people and ask them, what do you see in me? God is looking for faithful men. What kind of man or woman will you be? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, help us to always be true and faithful to your word. Lord, let us make changes in our attitudes, make changes in how we live our lives based upon what your word says, what we need to pick up, what we need to lay down, who we need to get close to, who we need to stay away from. Lord God, your word tells us all of that. And Lord, where it is unclear, your Holy Spirit makes it very clear. Lord, help us to be faithful to your word. Help us, Lord God, to be faithful to the call of you on our lives. To take the gifting that you've given us and to be faithful in the execution of it. And Lord, help us to be faithful as if we are blessed enough to have those who want to invest in our lives and have something to give, if they truly have something to give, Lord, that we're faithful to learn all we can and to glean all we can. Lord, help us to be people who are known by you as faithful and who are known by their brothers and sisters in the body of Christ as faithful. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.